Welcome to Shrink Wrap, a podcast where Fran and Becky give proper respect to various mental health and wellness topics,
while adding in a little bit of smart assery that they just can't seem to contain.
This podcast cannot and does not constitute therapy advice.
However, we do hope that you find the information we share with you helpful and entertaining.
Please be advised that this podcast discusses topics that can be sensitive to some listeners. Use appropriate discretion.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks for joining us yet again. Thanks for hanging in there.
Oh, my gosh.
This bananas troop.
These loyal people.
I know. Yeah. We'll probably at the end of every episode go, well, there's 30 minutes. I'm never getting back.
And why do I keep tuning into these weirdos?
Maybe that should be another episode.
I mean, at least it's not like Joe Rogan where it's like 2 hours that you're never going to get back.
Yeah, so. We only like to waste small amounts of time. Right. And hopefully sprinkle in knowledge.
If you're going to be one thing, you should be efficient. So that's good.
We have that nailed.
Don't half-ass anything.
Yeah, whole-ass one thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Fran, what are we talking about today?
I come up with these topics that no one else is interested in, but I'm hoping that someone will be interested in them. This is dissociative fugue.
Or now, what it's like to be the producer of Shrink Wrap. I feel like I go into a dissociative state, you know, every Thursday.
Well, we are going to talk about the difference between a dissociative state and a dissociative fugue. Okay. So.
Right. We are going to do that.
Oh, Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Frantastic Factoid.
So, dissociative fugue is a rare condition with prevalence estimates as low as 0.2%. Remember this statistic in the general population, according to Psychology Today.
0.2%.
0.2%.
Not 2%. 0.2%.
Yeah.
So under one.
Yeah. Under one.
Brody, you're so smart.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're like
super hard-hitting, widely approachable topics here. This is great.
So anyway, okay, getting back to fugues, because that's what all our listeners have gotten into.
Right, they're all like, so, we'll get back to the fugues already.
One of my coworkers, Ashley, she's like, what are we recording today? Because she loves our podcast.
Yeah.
And I said, dissociative fugue. And I think she might have been a music major. I know she's married to a music major. And she's like, every time I hear that, I think like Johann Sebastian Bach. Like, nope, not that fugue.
Oh, not that kind of a fugue, no. So
what is a fugue?
We'll get to it. You just settle down, bearded man.
When you don't give me notes, then I don't know where we're going.
Psychologists like Fran, fancy people, do know that fugues appear in all cultures and usually affect people in their 20s or 30s. So Brody could be going through it.
He could.
Although symptoms can arise in children as young as 8. Many victims come back to themselves within days or weeks, but some fugues can last for years or even decades.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here it is. Dissociative fugue is when a person's mind detaches from reality, causing a state of temporary memory loss. Usually people in this state will like relocate, like they'll get on a bus and they end up in a different state. They're going to end up somewhere far away and later have no memory of how the heck they got there.
So I had to Google what is the difference between this and just dissociation, because I don't know about you guys, but I hear dissociating being thrown around a lot. I dissociate all the time. I dissociate all the time, which my brother's always called going to Becky Land, because there are times when I will just go away in my head because it is just too painful. Mm-hmm. So kind of like our listeners are doing right now. So dissociating, as far as I could tell, and correct me if you guys know better, it's basically like you are choosing to disconnect yourself.
Well, yeah.
Like I'm mentally exiting the room.
You're going to control-alt-delete yourself?
And yes. Just, yeah, you're going to unplug.
Take a minute and reboot?
Yes. So an example of this is mystery writer Agatha Christie. Agatha Christie, who disappeared. Our younger listeners are like, who
the heck is that? Yeah.
She disappeared from her home in Berkshire, England on December 3rd, 1926. It was the eve of Fran's 70th birthday.
Becky,
you're gonna murder me because I'm not that much younger than you.
I know it. I know.
Sent Agatha a telegram, a pigeon at this point, wondering where she was.
Listeners, I'm literally 3 or 4 years younger than Fran. but it's so much fun. So Agatha drove some distance away from her home and abandoned her car. And she was found in a hotel in the north of England over a week later under a false name.
Smoking a pack of cigs.
I wonder what her false name was. That'd be interesting.
It would be interesting.
Yeah. See, as a writer.
I feel like this is kind of like the MO for someone like Agatha Christie.
Mm-hmm. Like she just snapped.
What are you, BFFs with Agatha or what?
No, you were, but I feel like from, I mean, didn't she write like horror novels and stuff?
Murder mysteries.
Yeah. She appeared not to remember the events leading up to her disappearance, and some sources claim she disappeared on purpose. This was a publicity stunt.
Maybe.
I don't know how you had those in the 1920s, but here we were. Whether she was aware of her actions remains unclear.
Okay, this one I thought was a really interesting factoid.
What are you laughing at?
I can just hear this. Just in, Agatha Christie is missing. It is 1926 and she has not been seen for a week. Where is Agatha Christie? Is she acting out one of her famous murders? We shall never know. Tune in next week, readers.
Okay, wait. Okay. Now you got to do the one where she's found.
No. Willie, you need that. Somebody has to do the ding, 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 ding. There has to be music in there. Okay, go ahead.
Thanks for that, Fran.
Cam or something. I don't know.
Famous murder writer Agatha Christie found. She was in a hotel several miles from her home and said she didn't know how she got there. Is it a mystery or is it all a ruse? This news reporter wants to know.
I think she got the vapors.
All right, so here's
just
another...
a case of hysteria, or maybe more.
So true. Okay, so remember Jason Bourne and the Bourne movies?
I love these movies.
I love the Bourne movies. Okay,
the Bourne movies are all based on.
Ansel.
No, Jamie Lee Curtis. What's the Jamie Lee Curtis and
True Lies?
True Lies.
No, it's based on a real person, Ansel Bourne.
That's not the one I'm thinking
of. Would you just shh? Oh, my God. How much coffee did you drink this morning?
Good stuff. I've been on the road all day. Go ahead.
What in the hell? Okay. Was actually inspired by Ansel Bourne's real experience of dissociative fugue.
But I do love True Lies.
True Lies is
great. That is one of my favorite movies.
I'm thinking of the one with Samuel L. Jackson and...
All right, Brody.
Google it.
I'm
going to figure it out.
Okay. So in some cases, the person leaves their family or career or assumes a completely new identity. Now, remember, this isn't on purpose. Mm-hmm. They just do it.
Right.
And later on, they may struggle to remember how they got there or why. Sometimes dissociative fugue may put someone in danger. And I had somebody ask me as I was leaving today, one of the students, he was like, so what is a dissociative fugue? And I said, the best way I think I could explain it in layman's terms would be like when you're driving down the road and it's a road, like probably you coming from to and from Groton every day. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you realize you're at Bath.
Yeah.
And you don't remember getting there.
You don't even know how you got there.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a dissociative fugue, right. But I think that's the closest we can come to understand. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
In a way. Okay. So the word fugue actually means to flee. And the term dissociation refers to feeling disconnected from your body, from experience, or from reality. Most cases of dissociative fugue are maybe. I'm going to say maybe because I don't think anybody who researches this knows, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
They're saying that it may be due to a mental health condition.
Well, I think it probably could be only because when I was researching this, I didn't see anything that says it can be spontaneous. Mm-hmm. Like it can be spontaneous, but there's usually that trauma or whatever in your background. Mm-hmm. But you don't have just average Joe life, and then all of a sudden you have a fugue. I don't think.
It seems to be correlated with trauma or mental health issues.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
A Long Kiss Goodnight. That was
okay.
Have you seen that one?
No.
Gina Davis is a spy.
I love Gina Davis.
Who got hit in the head or whatever, and she doesn't know that she's an assassin, and then Samuel Jackson is her handler or whatever.
Long Kiss Goodnight?
Long Kiss Goodnight.
That sounds good, actually.
Yeah, it really does.
It's very much what Jason Bourne was based off.
Okay.
Like, if anyone who says different is lying.
Okay. Even you, Ansel Bourne.
Wow.
Claim it was all about you.
Right, exactly.
Brody says.
So, like, I think what this reminds me of then is, like, multiple personalities, or what is it called, dissociative identity disorder now?
They're different. This could be a part of it.
Right.
Could be. Yeah.
Or the precursor, not precursor, but.
Yeah, it would be a symptom of, just like, you can have amnesia. Mm-hmm. And not have a dissociative fugue. Mm-hmm. But most of the time with a dissociative fugue, you're going to have amnesia.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Weird.
So yeah. How I always keep track of this in my head, and this was like probably Psych 201, when they said you have to be careful because too often people go, dogs have four legs, therefore every animal with four legs must be a dog. Mm-hmm. And it's not, yeah. So that's how I keep track of those confusing things.
It's weird that researchers don't have much information on it with 0.2%.
I know.
Yeah. Such right? a large sample group.
Right, to, exactly. Yeah.
I feel who can recall everything. Right. And are great historians, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So people who dissociate have memories, but during a fugue state, some or all of their memories may be inaccessible. And so that's some brain shit right there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they may recover their memories later.
Sometimes, which is scary. But I mean, even though it's such a small percent of the population that get it, imagine, for example, you have a young adult child now and they're 19 and they go to college. Then all of a sudden they disappear from college. You have no idea as a parent what happened to them. No one has seen them.
Yeah.
No one can find them. Finally, 4 months later, they're located in a different state. They showed up somewhere. They have no idea how they got there. They don't know who they are. They have no money anymore. I mean, can you imagine how devastating that would be to a family?
It'd be so scary. And then you get them. So then you find them and you get them back, right? And they don't remember much. Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd just be heartbreaking.
Yeah. So what are the symptoms of dissociative fugue? Number one, a person may suddenly realize they are in an unfamiliar place.
They can't recall how they got there, who they are, or other important life details.
They feel very confused and they don't know why they do certain things.
So this would be like Gina Davis, who it sounds like more had amnesia, but you know all the things about an assassin, but you don't know how you know all the things about being an assassin. Mm-hmm. That would be freaky.
Yeah.
To others, they may look lost or confused. And if you ask them questions, they may not be able to give you basic information like where they're from, what their name is.
Fortunately, dissociative fugue may be reversible. A person may regain awareness or memory with time or with mental health treatment.
And so here are some examples of a dissociative fugue. And again, the common denominator we saw was trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a lot of it. So a person in a violent relationship might escape in a dissociative fugue and then not remember how they got there.
Or a soldier returns from war and then weeks later, wanders away from home with no memory of who he is.
Oh, that'd be so scary. I think we have a lot more of that probably. I don't know why I think that. Mm-hmm. More groundbreaking science with Becky. You can't take me anywhere. What triggers a dissociative fugue? So medical professionals believe it's caused by trauma, an event or series of events that can be profoundly distressing or even threatening.
And what I thought was interesting is that a few can happen right away or it can happen much, much later. So, for example, let's say a child is really abused in childhood and they develop post-traumatic stress disorder and they're coping. They're doing pretty well. Years later, they're in a relationship and their partner does something to them that reminds them of their previous abuse. It's a trauma trigger. And then they have a dissociative fugue. So it can happen many years later.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That would just be absolutely a...
Hey, Becky, why is the Northern State University graduate program in counseling so awesome?
I could go on forever, but let's talk about the fact that you can get a clinical degree where you can work in private practice or an agency, or you can get a school counseling degree on the school track where you can work in a school as private school, parochial school, public school, any school you want to. And then my favorite.
What?
Forensic counseling.
Super cool. Yes. But is it KCREP approved?
It is KCREP approved. And you're like, what does that mean? You know what? It means that it has the gold standard of grad schools.
Super awesome. But can I afford it? Because I don't have a lot of money.
It's okay. If you go to northern.edu, you can apply for some scholarships. They have a couple of counseling specific scholarships in addition to some other really fantastic scholarships that a guidance counselor or a admissions counselor can help you with.
Awesome. Be Northern, unleash your potential, baby.
Because a fugue state can develop quickly or without warning, a person may not even remember the trigger. So kind of in the example you were giving, Fran, you might not even know what triggered it.
Right.
There may be reasons only the individual is aware of before they develop the memory loss, such as realizing it's the anniversary of a traumatic event or whatever your partner did in your example. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had in your practice a client that had this or anything even remotely similar to it?
With it being so common, I can't imagine why you would.
Right? Not a dissociative fugue. I've had clients who have psychotic features to like bipolar disorder, who it would be more of a schizophrenic feature, I guess, more than a dissociative fugue in that they believed like they needed to run for president. So they were trying to get to Washington, D.C., you know, something like that.
Right. More like.
So there's not this loss of awareness who you are. There's this psychological
delusion.
Yeah. Some of this. Yeah. Psychological grandiosity delusion. Have you?
No, I have not. I have not. Nothing even close.
The only, well, the only thing I would say is close. I have had clients who in the midst of an alcoholic blackout, but there again, they know who they are. They just don't know how they got from Aberdeen, South Dakota to say Denver, Colorado.
Right.
Yeah. Which would be really, that in and of itself is very scary too.
Again, dissociative fugue is not well understood. Some people think it may be an unconscious attempt to escape trauma, but they need more research because really, honestly, no one knows for sure.
Nobody knows for sure. But what we do know, it's extremely rare. 0.2%.
Yeah.
If you find somebody, if you find one of these 0.2% in a fugue state.
They're very common.
While you're grocery shopping.
I can guarantee you one of our listeners, right? One of our listeners is going to listen to this podcast and then they're going to be like, oh my God, I just heard a podcast on this. And then they're going to know what to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you are that person, please leave a comment on Spotify. Right? That would be great.
That'd be awesome. Way to go, Brody, to just kind of weave that in there.
Just throwing it in there.
Right?
So when this happens, try to get them to safety. Healthcare professionals may try to determine the person's identity, find out where they came from, and contact a friend or relative who can take them somewhere safe. I would almost take them to the ER.
If you can get them to the ER, because they have to be terrified. Yeah. You know, they don't know who you are and if they should trust you, you know. And you, what if they have violent propensities? You don't know. You want to help people, but it's like, what if they freak out?
Or a set of secret skills.
Right. Yeah. What if they're a secret agent?
They can kill you with a pencil.
If they're an assassin and they think you're the enemy. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. So just don't do anything. Run away. No, I'm kidding. Run! Unless if it is Gina Davis, then yes, run.
Exactly. A fugue state can be brief if it occurred due to a specific situation, like there was a big car accident. The person may actually recover with support alone. So, I mean, I don't want everybody to be listening to this thinking, oh no, my child was in this accident. Now they're going to have dissociative fugue. I mean, there's lots of people that have traumatic events in their lives and it doesn't lead to long-term symptoms or disability or a fugue.
Well, and as we've said, like in our PTSD episode, trauma is still not very well understood, even though we understand it more than we did 50 years ago. It's still not very well understood. And we don't know why some people respond differently than others. But a person may need treatment if this fugue state persists or recurs. Oh, can you imagine if it recurred?
See, and that surprised me. When I found that out, I was like, what? It can come back again? I was like, I thought it was one and done, but it could. And that makes sense.
I guess I never thought it would be one and done. I figured it would be something that you live with.
The whole rest of your life, it could happen.
I mean, can you imagine, though, you guys, that you're just living your life as Joe Blow, and then all of a sudden you wake up in Massachusetts, and then you figure it all out, you piece it together, you're back to being Joe Blow, and then 12 years later, you're in Nevada.
Oh, my God, it's Jason Bourne.
Yes, right? Yeah, I think some people fantasize about that. Some people, not like, oh, I want a fugue, but some people have said, like in my therapy office, like, I wish I could get a one-way ticket, go somewhere, take my money with me and start my life all over again and like disconnect from everything and everyone. You know, I think some people fantasize about that.
I agree. I'm just over here thinking.
Maybe so.
I drove to Gettysburg today and thought, what if I just keep going?
Right. Right. Yeah.
I was just thinking more of my science, Becky Science. Probably very few people have ever said, I hope I have a fugue. I was just sitting at my desk and I'm like, I'm tired of work. I want a fugue.
Yes, I want a fugue. Right. So if someone else recognizes that someone has is in a fugue. Ask them some certain questions. Okay, we got to strike this because my brain literally went on a fugue just now.
Okay.
No, it did. It got on a bus and now it's in New Jersey. Now it's in Jersey. Okay, here I go. Okay, asking others to help fill in memory gaps can help because it helps the person regain a sense of who they are and rebuild, like, what is my life story?
I like that. So if people do know the backstory, help them fill in those gaps.
Right.
Some fugue victims never recover the personal memories they've lost, leaving years unaccounted for. In addition, many fugue victims suffer trauma when young, which can make their brains more susceptible to stress as adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, that's with any kind of mental health issues. You know, any, like we talked about the ACEs quiz a bazillion times, adverse childhood experiences. If you're growing up with multiple traumas, multiple stress like that, you are more at risk for all kinds of mental and physical disorders.
Yeah. And I think our brains, even though this is very scary, I love the theory that it could be our brain trying to protect. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is just too much for you. So we're going to tuck it away. Yeah.
So the most psychologically disturbing aspect of fugues is how they completely erase a person's identity. And I know this is an old movie and you're going to make a smart ass comment, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you remember the movie Overboard?
With 1984.
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. Did you ever see that movie?
I did not. Okay. I was born that year, so I was busy doing other things.
You were. You were like nursing.
I was learning object permanency and stuff. Right. But,
trust versus mistrust.
Figuring out if that spiky monkey who gave me food was still good versus the soft monkey. Yeah.
Spiky monkey. I hope you're not referring to your mother.
No. No, it was the parent figure that was in the cage with me, not my actual mother.
Oh, I didn't know you grew up in a cage.
Yeah. I thought we all did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crib, cage, tomato, tomato.
Right? Oh, my gosh. All right. Anyway, the premise of the movie is Goldie Hawn is very rich and she's on this yacht with her very rich husband. Anyway, somehow she falls overboard and she completely loses her memory and ends up in Kurt Russell's home with his four unruly boys. And so, and she's beautiful and adorable and whatever. So Kurt has this great idea. I know, I'm going to pretend she's my wife and the mother of my four boys because frankly, I don't even like them that much and I can't parent them and nobody cooks or cleans,
right?
Yeah, it
was 1984. So no men knew how to do anything.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And so he convinces her, don't you remember, honey? You know, these are their names and you love cooking and cleaning. And it's adorable. It actually is adorable because, you know, they're in a romantic relationship anyway.
Yeah, and he takes her hostage to do all of his house chores. That's my favorite date night.
Yes, isn't it?
Thank you, GHB.
Handcuffs and everything. So, okay, Brody, use your mad movie skills, and I want you to predict the ending of the Overboard movie. What do you think happens?
She comes to, but then somehow probably blends all of this and stays with him anyway.
She's so in love with him.
Yeah.
She can't go back to the rich guy.
They're like together in real life, right?
Yes, they've been together for like decades and decades. Never got married.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Their son is now playing the younger version of Kurt Russell in that the Apple TV series Monarch.
Is that Oliver Hudson? No, that's a different one.
That's the daughter's. That's what's her
Wyatt
name?
Wyatt Russell is his, is his name.
There we go. Yep.
So Wyatt Russell, and he played the new Captain America in the Falcon and Winter Soldier show, but
cool.
Neither here nor there. But I thought it was cool that he played. It's a time jump and thing. So the Wyatt Russell is in the past, and Kurt Russell is in the future.
What do you call that when you go on the laurels of your parents? There's a term for young people that are basically capitalizing on what their parents have.
Nepotism.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Brody. 10 points. We are totally. Yes. Holy shit, I'm impressed. Nepotism. Okay.
So when I was reading this, it, because I thought that was more amnesia that Goldie Hawn had, right?
Yes.
And that made me think of 50 First Dates, which is one of my favorite movies. Yeah, because I love Adam Sandler.
And I love Drew. Yeah. Yes.
So that's another fun one.
Yes.
In some cases, it may be a matter of urgency for a person to recover their memories. And in these cases, doctors may consider hypnosis. However, this can risk the person reliving traumatic events when they're not ready.
So have either of you ever been hypnotized?
No.
Not that I know of.
Would you consider being hypnotized?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
I would too.
I mm-hmm. would certainly want like a video of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't they say like you need to be suggestible, like you need to believe in it in the first place?
Yeah. Which,
of course, raises all the red flags that this is bullshit. But, but
yeah. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Sure. I'll find it.
Many psychologists don't believe that fugues are legit. Quote, because fugue is a syndrome that can be used for nefarious purposes.
That's
there's
a big
always
word.
Been some skepticism, says Kai McDonald, assistant professor of psychiatry at University of California School of Medicine, San Diego School of Medicine. So, in other words, somebody could fake the 0.2% of the population who gets fugues, could
some
fake,
of them.
Could fake the fugue, which brings it down to 0.1% of the population to evade responsibility or criminal charges.
Dozens of people out there are outraged that why would you fake this?
However, there are documented cases of such malingering. So it does happen, mm-hmm. but documented cases? Yeah. How many do we have?
That's just gaslighting with extra steps.
Yeah. Right?
How did I get to this cabin in Montana, honey? I don't know.
I know, exactly.
I'm glad that you called.
Other person get here with me? Yeah. No idea. So malingering for our listeners, it's when you falsify or exaggerate symptoms, either physical or psychological, for external gain.
Which I know that the criminal population does have a higher rate. I know this is groundbreaking research here of malingering,
Let me just
write that down.
Get my pen out.
Write that down.
I had a psychotic break. I don't know how I stabbed my husband 122 times.
Right. Yeah.
Even though they are rare and controversial, psychologists who've treated fugues maintain they do exist and that they can provide real insight into human behavior and how the brain classifies memory.
I think it's fascinating.
I do think
it's legit. Why wouldn't we think it's legit? Our human brain is capable of all kinds of things.
And we understand so little of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Treatment may involve psychotherapy and possibly medication, depending on whether the person has other mental health conditions. But there's no standard treatment for fugues. So this isn't in one of our Wiley treatment planners.
Right, exactly.
That we use in practice.
Yes. Therapists, as we said, some have tried hypnosis, some have tried electroconvulsive therapy, some have tried drugs like sodium amytal, a truth serum, without much success. In rare cases, ketamine and propofol can actually induce fugues.
Or death.
So can hyperglycemia from diabetes. So obviously, more research needs to be done, right?
So she said electroconvulsive therapy and you went, ooh.
Yeah.
I had the privilege of witnessing this when I worked at our local hospital on the behavioral health unit. It's really cool.
Oh, I've only ever seen it in, what was that
movie? One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, and that is not what
Requiem
it is.
For a Dream. And yeah, that's not.
The average treatment lasts about 20 to 30 seconds.
Yeah, but don't they do it like 20 times then?
No.
Well, once. Like hardcore music plays in the background
they
and
don't.
Then they like intercut that with someone getting his arm chopped off.
No. You're under general anesthesia, which sometimes causes amnesia just around the time surrounding your treatment. But you're out and then 20 to 30 seconds is it.
But does it look like the movies where like
not at
you
all.
Gotta
no.
you put in a mouth guard and you're like
no, and you know what? Ironically, one of the side effects of ECT can be memory loss. So I'm not sure who
weird.
Yeah, I know.
I know. That's why when I read this, I'm like, why would you be using ECT for memory loss?
I think it's sort of like we have no clue. Let's just try it. But I'm
couldn't
joking.
Hurt.
I'm being very flippant today.
I mean, shame maybe that's Fran. How it used to be, Fran. Yeah. Your standards and practices have been updated since 1856.
Hey, ECT didn't work. Anybody got a knife? Let's do a lobotomy.
How about that? Let's go for it. No.
We'll just take that bitch out.
Let's grab some leeches and believe the person. Let's do that.
Yep. Or a castor oil pack, whatever.
Or how about we drink some testosterone juice?
Yes, that would be great. Testicular juice.
Pimp juice? That's still around. It's just called pimp juice now.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Oh, gosh. You know what? We should be ashamed of ourselves.
I need a fugue state. I need a fugue state right now.
Okay, what are the credible sources, which doesn't include the three of us, for this podcast?
We did Psychology Today with Sam Keen, and Medical News Today was Zahn Volanus.
Okay.
You guys.
Oh, wait. We can't stop. We cannot stop.
Oh, that's right.
We are not, because we're gonna end this with a would you rather.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, yes. Guys. Okay. So we had a planning meeting just to let you. Yes, just to let the listeners in. And Allison Cook, my daughter, and Brody, so it'd be our social media person and our producer, are the other two who are a part of this podcast with Fran and I. And they decided we should start doing some fun things. So we'll see if this falls flat or you guys love it.
Okay. Am I the asshole?
Ooh.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, it wasn't any. Yes.
Oh,
okay,
you mean
sorry.
You're not done yet? You have more to say? Okay, go ahead.
My girlfriend of who's 25 wants me, who's 28. This is not me, but this is the question, to sleep on the couch so she can sleep alone with her toddler in my bed some nights. And I said, absolutely not. Here's
Wait,
the context.
Her toddler or our toddler?
Her toddler.
Okay.
For context, I've been raising the child as my own since he was 3 years old. Bio dad, not in the picture at all. Paying for childcare, food, clothes, etc. We moved in together 7 months ago. I bought the bed and threw away my couch, and she threw away her bed and we kept her couch. The toddler is 2 and still sleeps in the bed with us almost every night. We fight about it constantly because I feel we never get time to ourselves and to have a relationship outside of being parents. We've been fighting pretty bad recently, and this was one of her compromises that she wants to make this relationship work. Am I the asshole? So she wants him to sleep on the couch so she can sleep with her son in their bed.
Okay. Well, I think we've been pretty clear about this on parenting episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of the kids sharing the bed. And I know there's people out there that like it. And if that's your jam, go for it. Mm-hmm. I think we get situations like this where intimacy is even more greatly disrupted than it is just from having a kid in the house.
I'm going to agree with you. I don't think that. And I mean, there's exceptions. Yes. Okay. The kid wakes up in the middle of the night. They have a really bad dream
they're sick or
something like that. Okay.
We're not saying never,
but I agree with you. I think on a regular basis, absolutely not. And I also think it's really disrespectful to basically tell the kid, your father figure, he's going to go sleep on the couch so you can have his position of privilege. You know, not a fan.
Which to me goes back to the episode we did on how not to raise a narcissist. Yeah. I think this is how you could raise a narcissist.
Right. And would you like to wear a crown while you sleep on his pillow? Yes.
Can I feel you some grapes?
Honey, could you get off the couch and make us breakfast, please? So to answer, I don't think he's the asshole.
I don't think he's the asshole either.
Does it raise any red flags? And I'm not saying one thing or another, but so he's been raising this kid since the kid was 3 months old. Now he's 3 years old. So they've been together for 2.5 years, moved in 7 months ago. Should this move on towards some kind of greater commitment?
Well, I always say if you can't compromise in things, you're going to have trouble down the road. And if they, and this, a reasonable compromise, let me correct that, a reasonable compromise, because I know her compromise is go ahead and sleep on the couch.
But you know what? It's probably her first child. And maybe this, you know, she doesn't really understand some of the ramifications of doing this or developmental steps and all of that. So do I think it's doomed to fail as a relationship? No. Do I think they should go to a couples counselor and someone who actually is a parent and is well aware of developmental stages and what's in the best interest of the child? They don't have to be a parent, but they have to be knowledgeable of that. Yes, I do. This is the time you check in with somebody who's neutral and can say, hey, you guys both have important feelings, but let's do what's in Joey's best interest. How about that?
I like that.
Yeah.
I think there's not going to be a second child.
Not if he's on a couch all the time.
You know what could happen is that guy that's sleeping on the couch is going to wake up in New Jersey and he's not going to know what the hell happened, right?
And be much happier for some reason.
I think that's going to be malingering, but I might be wrong. Oh, you guys, we are the shrinks.
And that's a wrap.